Hi, everybody. Welcome to Bass Fan Radio. And with me today is Dustin Wilkes. And Dustin, you're the 22nd ranked angler in the State Farm World Rankings. And boy, you know, you look at year in, year out, you're always in the money, you're always doing well, and kind of an unknown commodity to maybe most of the country. And it's kind of funny because, you know, you look at these trails and you look at how well you've performed. And I think maybe it's that laid back style. What do you think about that?
Yeah, you got to take it in stride. I'd like to stay calm or you can go crazy in this sport. Definitely the low keel approach has worked for me. I mean, not get too excited and fish as hard as you can every single day.
Well, you know, you look at the performances, you know, and we kind of look at those on a regular basis here at Bass Fan. And, you know, we look at every time the tournament comes around, you know, we see Dustin Wilkes. He's always in that top echelon group of people. And, you know, we just don't see the flair and, you know, the flamboyancy and some of those kind of things. But really, that's your background. And, you know, I've known you a number of years. And when I see you, you know, you're out there, you're promoting, you're doing those kind of things that you need to do. But you're just not really a flamboyant type of guy, are you?
Well, probably to my close buddies, I'm a little more wound up than I do in public. I can relate to a lot of the guys in the crowd. You know, a lot of guys are laid back that like to fish, and they don't necessarily get real excited all the time. So it's just kind of a different approach I take, and seem to get along with everybody.
Well, that's what I hear across the trail. You know, whenever you hear the name Dustin Wilkes, the guys that are fishing routinely, they've got all these real positive things to say. And, you know, you've landed a lot of really good sponsors as a result, too, and had some pretty good success with them.
Yeah, I've been real fortunate. I've had real good companies like Triton Boats, Yamaha, all my lure sponsors from Culprit, Yozuri, and Glamour Shad, and been working with Team Daiwa now since I started, too. So I've got a good staple of companies that have backed me every single year since I started, and I haven't had to do a lot of switching. And I, you know, I really use what I endorse, and I like all the products, and it's an easy deal for me.
Well, there's a little company you mentioned out in your neck of the woods called Glamour Shad, and if you look at them, you know, they have just really taken the world by storm. Got some really neat products, and have come out with a new jig as well.
Yeah, the jig is really good. I actually caught, and I was figuring up the other day, I caught 90% of my bass in the Elite 50 series on that one bait, a 3/8 ounce Glamour Shad jig, black and blue. And all the tournaments just set up for good jig bites, but it's a real good bait. It's got a 4/0 mustad, real strong hook on it. And I don't like a real big hook. A lot of guys like a 5/0 hook. But on a 3/8 ounce jig, that small hook seems to slip through the cover a little bit better. Still get a good hook set with it. I miss very few fish on that jig.
Now, that jig, is that a casting jig, or do you use that for flipping as well?
It's a flipping jig, and it's a heavy line jig with that big hook on it. I'll swim it a lot, too, but mainly flipping.
Well, you know, in the last couple of years, that swimming technique has really taken the world by storm. You know, you look at a lot of the tournament wins, a lot of guys are now, instead of just hopping that jig or maybe dragging along the bottom a little bit, they're actually swimming it almost like a spinnerbait to a certain extent.
Yeah, you look at Randy Howell's win on Dardanelle when he was popping it real fast. That's the extreme form of swimming. A lot of the fish that I catch on it, I'm swimming it maybe a foot or two off the bottom. I'm not ever letting it hit the bottom. And sometimes, you know, if there's a log that's only halfway down in the water, I'll swim it parallel to that log, much like you would bang a crankbait off the edge of it, something like that. So not necessarily always on the bottom.
Well, you know, as you look at the jig bite, and you guys, you know, in your neck of the woods and in the southeast down there, you've kind of been a jig you know, family down there. A lot of people really throw it. But this Glamour Shad jig, one of the things I noticed about it is the way it falls. You know, it doesn't necessarily fall head down. You know, it's got that maybe a little bit more of a horizontal fall, you know, instead of the straight vertical, straight up and down. And I think that might maybe excite the fish a little bit more, too.
Yeah, Todd's a real good lure designer. Todd Davis is the founder of the company, and he really puts a lot of effort and detail into the bait. So that's another thing you probably notice is the real etched finish and real bait fish look to the head. But he puts a lot more emphasis into how the baits are weighted. And actually how the bait is weighted makes it a real good skipping jig too. When you look at it, you're like, well, there's no real flat surface on it. It's a stand-up design head, but the way the weight on it is, it really skips across the water well.
Well, you know, in Florida, you guys are getting ready to go to Toho in the next couple of weeks, and you're getting ready to fish a tournament down there. And I can remember, you know, back in the 80s, nobody ever threw a jig in Florida. And now all of a sudden, people are starting to come out with the jig a little bit, and it's playing pretty good dividends to a lot of people.
Yeah, they don't always bite it real good down there, but occasionally they'll really bite it. My biggest bag I've ever caught in Florida was on a jig. I caught a 26-pound bag down there one day on a jig. It's just something that not every day, but occasionally when they're on it, you better be throwing one.
Well, you know, you're ranked now number 22 and have been ranked a lot higher than that, you know, in the top five several times. And, you know, you got to have aspirations, I would think, as an angler and as a guy that works as hard as you do at it to try to get to that number one ranking. And, you know, you got some goal setting, I'm sure. Tell me a little bit about what some of those goals are and how are you going to try to get to that number one ranking?
Yeah, I've wanted to set up for, you know, a long-term career in the sport, and being consistent is really important to me, kind of the Rick Klein approach where you make the Classic every year. And I've made the Classic four times now in the last 3 years in a row. And just a real consistent approach, and I feel like my chances are going to come for those top spots as long as I'm there and I'm in contention. And when I see it, I'm going to go for it.
Well, you're not an old guy, that's for sure, still in your 20s, and you're still one of those guys that are out there banging around. And, you know, you started at such a young age, people think you've been around here forever.
Yeah, it's kind of neat. That's, you know, the guys that really followed the sport, you know, they think I've been around a long time. And some of the guys that may not know who I am think I've just started. And when I tell them I've made the Classic four times, they're like, wow, you know, we didn't even know you fished that long. So it works both ways. The guys that have really followed the sport, you know, that know who I am and everything, so they think I've been around a long time. But a lot of the guys that may be real casual about being fans are kind of surprised when they see me so young and have made the Classic four times already.
Well, you know, when you look back at this, I know at the boat shows and stuff, you know, you kind of gravitate to the guys that are your age. I mean, all of us old guys, you know, we see the you know, the Roland Martins, the Rick Klunz, you know, the Denny Browers, and those guys are all going to give me the dickens now because I said they're old. But in reality, you know, there's a lot of young folks now getting involved, you know, the college-age kids and a lot of people like that. And I think for our sport to grow, we're definitely going to have to get those guys involved, aren't we?
Yeah, I get a lot of guys, like, in their 30s that want to talk a lot. And I've always been friends with a lot of, and I'm going to get flack for this too, a lot of my older buddies. You know, I've got a lot of older friends that I grew up fishing with, you know, in their 40s and 50s and some in their 60s now. And, you know, I've stayed good friends with them. But, you know, those are most of the ones that I know. And a lot of the college-age kids and just out of college, they really tend to gravitate toward the younger guys, you know, can relate to them a little bit better. And, you know, can ask, well, how'd you get started? And all those kind of questions.
Well, you know, you're talking about those old guys. I'm one of those guys. And, you know, there's nothing worse than having that young guy come in and just wax you. You know, you're thinking, man, I got all this experience. I'm out here doing a good job. You know, I'm fishing hard and had good success over the last several years. And then you get this young guy comes in, and all of a sudden he takes the world by storm. And, you know, it's kind of reminiscent of the Kevin Van Dam starting out, you know. He got money in every tournament. And, you know, it's really neat to see, I think, you know, as a guy that's been around this sport for a long time, it's nice to see these young guys coming in, and they've got a different approach, no question about it.
Yeah, you've got to take it in stride. I mean, you've got to have young guys coming in to keep the sport going, and it's diversity, and it all seems to be in good fun to me. I mean, you get some guys that take it seriously, and, you know, we don't like these young guys, but for the most part, everybody likes each other, and it's good, and, you know, you can get around with the old guys and, you know, have a good time.
Well, you know, the one thing I'd notice about the young guys, they keep me young. You know, when I go out and I compete and there's a bunch of 20-year-old guys out there that are really working hard and getting the practice time in and stuff, it makes you decide that, hey, you're either going to go out there and compete and work hard, or you're going to be kind of an also-ran. And when it's nice to see you guys are out there pushing us a little bit.
Yeah, you got to think, though, that, I mean, you look at guys that are traditionally, you look at them and you think they're slow fishermen, somebody like a George Cochran, maybe even Mark Davis. He seems like he fishes slow. But those guys know how to find the fish, and that's the most important thing. It doesn't matter how many casts you make in a day. It matters where you make those casts. And that's what some of these guys are so good at, and that's what I'm striving to be like, is to make all of my rapid casts all where the fish are instead of empty water.
Well, that's no doubt a great attribute to be able to make the Bassmaster Classic as many times as you have. And, Dustin, you know, I appreciate you being with us here at Bass Fan Radio. You're about ready to start that tournament season, so the vagabond time begins.
All right. I'm excited about it. I can't wait to get down there.
I'm Terry Brown, and this has been Bass Fan Radio.